Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
If you're just joining us, for the first time, I think, since we've done the show together, I got mad about something. And it's thanks to Kang, our producer, who wanted to build this case that there was authentic disrespect of Jared Goff going on as it pertains to the NFL MVP. And I kind of rolled my eyes and said, okay, Kang, tell me why. By the end of the conversation, I was pissed because he's right. And most of it goes to, it seems like of late, the criteria to choose the NFL's MVP is, well, the quarterback of a one seed. In fact, the last 7 NFL MVPs are quarterbacks of one seeds. And it's not even that our quarterback of a one seed isn't going to win the NFL MVP, because each of those 7 years, there was a quarterback of a one seed that didn't, right? Because there's a one seed in the AFC and a one seed in the NFC. What seems unique about this time around is it feels like our quarterback at best can finish 4th based upon the hype. Now, maybe he will finish 3rd, but it warrants more discussion that Jared Goff is the NFL MVP, and it's getting almost no discussion. Now, is that a real thing? Like, is it just because certain media members aren't talking about it? I think they love to have the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson debate. But in the world of hot takes, it feels like somebody wouldn't have to stretch to have a hot take that it should be Jared Goff. Kang pointed out he's got some trends that are better than Tom Brady's this year when Brady won the MVP. Now, whatever reason why, and I actually, as we talked our way through it, I started to get pissed off and I couldn't believe it.
I mean, the problem is every year is different. You know, everybody has different seasons at different times, and this year, I think it's clear that there are 3 front runners, with Barkley being the 3rd one, the running back, but it's Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. But to have the conversation and not even discuss Jared Goff, mm-hmm, and what he has done this year seems foolish. It seems disrespectful, as Kang said, and I would agree with that.
Another chip on the shoulder, boys. Another chip on the shoulder. Detroit versus everybody.
Feels like it. But anyway, I wanted to get to previewing the NFL playoffs this weekend. And guys, we kind of work our way through the schedule, and we'll call the shot as to where the upset is. There almost always is. We'll do these in chronological order, kind of set the scene for each game and give you a little bit of backdrop of each one. Houston is actually at home as an underdog, a 2.5-point underdog to the LA Chargers. This is an interesting game because Justin Herbert, under Jim Harbaugh, has only thrown 3 interceptions. He is known as a quarterback-friendly coach. C.J. Stroud, in every measurable way, in terms of passing, seems worse than he was a year ago. But Houston's at home. I feel like they're a team that people just don't really like this year. What do you think of this game?
I've been very bullish on Houston all year long, and they haven't lived up to the hype at all. C.J. Stroud has taken, looks like, a step back from last year, but last year was an amazing start to his career. He's not as good as he was last year. They don't have the team that they thought they were going to have going into the season. They have had injuries that have hurt them significantly, and yet it's an opportunity now to clean the slate and get after it. You've got a home game. It's a playoff game. I actually like the home team underdog in the Texans. I know that the Chargers are favored by 3, but I'm not a believer yet in Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert's one of these guys that looks like he should be an amazing quarterback, and he's just been good. Can he take that next step? The next step's going to have to be with postseason wins. I would think that the Texans win this game.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Kang, your thoughts on Houston and the LA Chargers?
Yeah, the Stroud thing, the year he had last year was phenomenal. That just shows how great of a year, an unbelievable year he had as a rookie. And to come back a little bit doesn't mean he's not a good quarterback anymore, but it's hard to keep doing this year in and year out, right?
Yeah, I think Herbert is a different guy under Harbaugh. He is really good with quarterbacks, and I think his numbers reflects it. I think the Chargers do, as a favorite, get this win on the road. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Pittsburgh's lost four in a row going into the playoffs. In those four games, they've scored all of six touchdowns. Lamar has a postseason reputation that ain't great. 2-4 is the record of Baltimore with Lamar, quarterback in the postseason. He's got nine turnovers in those six games. Only two interceptions in his last 10 going into this one. And maybe the most stunning stat of the year, any stat. Kyle Van Noy has 12 and a half sacks for Baltimore.
Look at that. Who's he?
Right. Former Detroit Lion. Did nothing here. Your thoughts?
I like the Ravens. I think the Ravens are just a few teams that could win the Super Bowl. I think they're an outstanding football team. I love Lamar Jackson. I don't care about what was happening in the past with the postseason issues. You're taking on a Steelers team that is limping into the playoffs. It doesn't seem like they have a ton of confidence in their quarterback and Russell Wilson. If they make the switch to Justin Fields, has he got enough reps where he's going to be able to step in and get the job done? I just don't like what the Steelers offer offensively in this game. And, you know, Baltimore can beat you with the passing, or they can beat you just with blunt force trauma with the running back. And then when they get tired of that, then they can play action and, you know, there goes Lamar off the side. So I think Ravens are just, they're too good. I like them to win this game. The spread is 9.5. That's a lot of points to give up. But if you're just picking straight up, I don't see Pittsburgh winning this game, even though Pittsburgh beat Baltimore earlier in the year.
So the way Pittsburgh wins this game is Tomlin. I have so much respect for Tomlin, but John Harbaugh's a really good coach too. I agree. I like the 9.5 a lot, but I can't pick them to win this game.
Well, and Tomlin, I don't think he's won since 2016.
Well, he's won.
Well, not a playoff game.
No, but he's always there
yeah.
because he's such a good coach.
But if you're always there and you're not progressing.
Well, I can make the same case for Lamar.
He's got two wins.
But he struggles in the postseason.
But he's been more successful in the postseason than Mike Tomlin has lately.
Whatever. Kang?
I don't see how the Steelers can score enough points. I mean, there's talks in Pittsburgh about getting Justin Fields in the game somehow. So unless something dramatic happens, I like the Ravens. 9.5, whatever you're going to get at, is a pretty big number, though. Tomlin, unfortunately, he keeps making the playoffs. They might need not to make the playoffs so they can actually rebuild, you know, because he keeps getting these teams in maybe that don't deserve to be in. So I think that hurts him, but I like the Ravens.
Denver's getting 8.5 at Buffalo. The Bills lost three straight playoff games when they are favored. Their last three times they've lost in the playoffs, they've been favored in all of those games.
I don't believe that. How could that possibly be? They have Josh Allen.
Denver's got a really good secondary that could maybe help them man up on the outside and gang up against the run and try and contain Allen and James Cook. It would become a legendary story if Bo Nix can get this win, but I don't think he can.
I like Bo Nix a lot. You know this. But Buffalo's the better team. Buffalo should win this game. The Broncos, they smoked the Kansas City team that did not throw Patrick Mahomes out there or Travis Kelce or Chris Jones or a bunch of people. So that game doesn't matter. The previous two games they lost. They lost to Cincinnati in overtime. Cincinnati needed to win that game to keep their playoff hopes alive, and they didn't make it. Previous to that, they lost to the Chargers by a touchdown, and it was on the road. So it's not good for them tracking going into this game. And with Buffalo, the thing that would give Broncos hope is that Buffalo's defense isn't top-notch. You can put up points against Buffalo. But can you stop Buffalo? I like a couple of the players that the Broncos have on defense. They've got a really good linebacker, and Surtain is one of the best covers in the league. But all in all, it's just too much talent for Buffalo.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Bills in this one. Bo Nix, rookie quarterback, and he's an older rookie quarterback, but I just don't think it's going to fare well for him going to Buffalo in a big game like this. He's not ready yet. Sean Payton's done incredible things this year with Denver, but Buffalo moves on.
We'll get to our NFC picks coming up today at 12:18. 248-539-9797. Steve is on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I totally agree with you with this whole disrespect to Jared Goff, but I came up with an interesting fact or question. You guys were saying, like, Lamar gets it because he's so flashy. So with that said, is it possible that the one seed is the criteria, but then they give it to the flashier one seed? So, like, Lamar got it last year, right? But let's say he only had 30 touchdowns and the guy in the NFC had 40. Is it because Lamar is that much more flashier that he got it? Or is it strictly a statistical thing?
Well, I don't doubt that highlight reel stuff impacts the voting. And when Goff's superpower isn't something, people don't watch the highlights and say, wow, did he dissect that defense? Wow, did he make a smart throw? Wow, that's the right read. Wow, he processed that information quickly. But Lamar does two or three wow things a game.
Yeah, and
okay,
Lamar also has
the... He went like 18 for 18.
I know.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Steve. Lamar also has the stats that back him up. Not only is he flashy,
okay,
I mean, the guy threw for over 4,000 yards and had a ridiculous number of touchdown passes and very few interceptions. His quarterback rating was 7 points higher than Jared Goff's was. He had a hell of a season, a hell of a season. It's not just flash with him.
But that's what I'm asking. Like, is it always going to the higher statistics? So, like, if Lamar had 40 touchdowns and 4,000 yards, but somebody in the NFC that was the number one seed had 45 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, then shouldn't it have gone to the guy in the NFC? That's kind of my point.
Yeah, I guess it should have if that were the case. But, you know, Goff's numbers are really good. But he threw fewer touchdowns and had a worse quarterback rating than Lamar Jackson. So I guess it kind of shoots that part down. But I understand what you're trying to say.
We will preview NFC playoff games next inside Allen Park at 12:30. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Look, you want to get ready and watch the NFL playoffs or hockey games, basketball games. The best place in town is 24 Seconds Bar and Grill right in the heart of downtown Berkeley. It's awesome. Food's great. Awesome seating there. They have the flat screen, high definition TVs all throughout the place. And with the playoffs starting this weekend, you get 375 20-ounce drafts of Miller Lite for those games. And all day, every day, by the way. Plus, they have specials during the college basketball games as well. And for Detroit hockey and basketball games, $4 bottles of Blue and Blue Light. They got trivia. That's back on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. And 24 Seconds is also open for lunch on Thursdays and Fridays to get some of that great food. Awesome wings they have. The burgers are great, too. College football semis continue tonight with Ohio State and Texas. That's awesome. And if you want to save the hassle of parking and driving to Detroit's divisional home playoff game next weekend, and for the conference championship, let's hope, the following weekend, here's what you do. You hop on a 24-second shuttle. You can have a drink on the way to the game, and it's only $40 round trip. And like I said, you avoid all the parking nightmares and the traffic hassle. Just enjoy yourself. And they've got $4 Honolulu Blue shots, $5 hot dog combos, $6 brat combos for that game as well. And on Saturday, January 18th, that's next week, UFC 311, no cover. Every seat's a great seat at 24 Seconds. That's where you're going to want to be. The food's awesome. The service is even better. You can check out all the specials and happenings they have at 24secondsbar.com and grab a taste of the action for yourself. Again, it's my favorite place to go. Right in the heart of downtown Berkeley, 24 Seconds Bar and Grill on 12 Mile.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97 on a ticket. All pro teams have been released. So, on offense, you've seen these, obviously.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, part of it I've seen.
On offense, two Lions make it. Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell. On defense, one Lion makes it. It's Kirby Joseph.
Kirby Joseph was left off the Pro Bowl roster.
Yep.
But he's all pro.
Yep.
First team.
Yep.
That's right. Where he belongs.
The
can't first, have a year like you had, and the media won't take any biases in there. At least they didn't when they voted on this.
First team All-Pro quarterback is Lamar Jackson. Second team is Josh Allen, which would be funny because I think Josh Allen's going to win the MVP. Second team All-Pro Frank Ragnow. And Khalif Raymond is a second team punt returner. I believe Jack Fox is first team.
So no Jahmyr Gibbs, but that'd be tough. Do they have two running backs for the first team or just one running back first team?
Oh, crap.
I know they do a full
back. I think it's just one.
So that's going to be tough for him to get there because obviously Saquon Barkley had a year. Derrick Henry had a year. And he's in the mix. He's in the discussion, Kang. He should be in the discussion. But there are a couple guys definitely ahead of him. Jonathan Taylor had a hell of a season. But so did Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs had one hell of a season. 20 touchdowns is really hard to ignore.
Yeah, Jack Fox did make first team at punter. So there you go, the NFL All-Pro teams. We said we would preview the NFC playoff games. And Gator, we will start with the first game on Sunday. Green Bay is a 4.5-point underdog at Philadelphia. And I got to tell you, I don't feel like this is sexy at all, but this is my upset pick. And it's over the uncertainty regarding Jalen Hurts. The whole quarterback, you know, concussion protocol thing. Everybody says he's playing, but until he clears protocol, which would be headline news everywhere, I don't know how we can know that. Now, without him, if he doesn't play, Saquon Barkley has killed Green Bay lately in the last few matchups. So it's not like they don't stand a chance, but at this point, this would be my upset pick.
Ian Rappaport just reported 1 minute ago on Twitter that Nick Sirianni, Eagles head coach, says Jalen Hurts has cleared the NFL's concussion protocol and he's good to go.
Scratch everything I just said. He has cleared protocol, huh?
He is good to go versus the Packers.
All right. Breaking news. I mean, that's what I was building it around. So never mind. I got Philly winning at home if he's playing in this game. Gator, your thoughts?
Well, I look at this game and I feel like I want Green Bay to win this game just to knock off Philadelphia because I think Philadelphia can be, I think that's the toughest out in the NFC outside of the Lions. And I'm not scared of Green Bay as a Lions fan, so it would be nice to do that. Philadelphia is just more talented. Hurts is going to play. He doesn't even have to throw it that much because they've got Saquon there. But the receivers are really good, too. Packers are banged up a little bit defensively. A lot of guys limited in practice this week. Quay Walker was limited in practice. Edrin Cooper limited in practice. Those are some bigger names. We know Christian Watson is out with the knee injury. Zaire Alexander, he's out, right? The corner.
Alexander?
He's done for the year, isn't he?
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got real issues on the Packers' side there. I just think it's too much to overcome, even though I'd be rooting for Green Bay in this game.
Yeah, I like the Eagles. I mean, I just think up front they're just too strong on both sides of the ball. Offensive line, defensive line. Without Watson, one less weapon for Love. I think he'll be running for his life a little bit this game. I think the Eagles control the clock on offense. Eagles roll.
Next up, Washington is a 3-point underdog at Tampa. These two played in the season opener. And you know what's funny? At the time when they played and Tampa won big, we had no idea how their two quarterbacks were going to be perceived this year. Baker is like comeback player of the year kind of guy. And Jaden Daniels has been outstanding. He wasn't in that game. Baker had a huge game. I think he threw 4 touchdown passes, if I recall correctly. But that it's funny that these two teams have played. And, you know, we could go back into film, but it feels like a complete non sequitur. Because now, late in the year, both quarterbacks deserve a ton of respect. How do you see this one going down?
Well, I'm a huge fan of the Commanders. I think that they win this game. They're underdogs. Great. Have them be underdogs. That's fine. They're going to get a big player back. Marshawn Lattimore comes back for this game. He gets to match up against Mike Evans, and he has kind of owned Mike Evans. And if you can stop Mike Evans from being an impact player in this game, then you've effectively stopped Tampa Bay. Plus, I think there's some special players on the defense for the Washington team that can get after Baker Mayfield. And you can, if you can get the Baker, rattle him, then you've got this game. I really like Washington. I think they're a dangerous team, and I think they win this game.
Okay.
I agree. I like the upset here, Gator. I know earlier I said Bo Nix, rookie quarterback on the road. I didn't like that, but and I like Jaden Daniels here. He's a rookie quarterback on the road. I like it because I think the Commanders are a better team around him. Terry McLaurin is fantastic with Jaden Daniels this year. He's always been a good receiver, but he just needed a quarterback. Jaden Daniels has surpassed anything I thought he was going to be this year. I thought he'd be a good quarterback, but not this fast, this early. And I like them in a close game, though, to take out the Buccaneers.
I still believe in Baker, and I've been so impressed with what he's done this year, and I think they hold serve at home. Final game, the Rams in Minnesota. This game will be played in Phoenix, and normally I feel like this would affect a home team potentially, but this is probably the home team that's affected the least. The Rams losing home field advantage is probably the least impact on any team in the NFL.
Well, because it feels like every team that goes to L.A., has the opportunity to have that advantage. But when you're going into Phoenix, it really is advantage Minnesota because there are so many transplanted Minnesotans there. I'm not sure how this works ticket-wise. If are the tickets offered up to all the season ticket holders in L.A.? Like, hey, they're yours to have if you want them.
Just show up.
But I, even if that's the case, are they going to want to make the travel for the game? I don't know if they even care. There aren't LA football fans, just not enough. So it is a home game for the Vikings, but are the Rams going to take this upon themselves and say, we're doing this for LA. We're doing this because we need to have something to cheer about in the midst of what is going on with all the fires and all the devastation and everything that's happened there. And it's a nice mantle to try to carry. And I think they're going to carry it because I think Minnesota is fraudulent. I don't like Sam Darnold, and the Rams defensive line can get after the quarterback. And we saw what the Lions did. If you can force Sam Darnold to make off platform throws, get him out of the pocket, you've got something going there. And I think with Verse and company, they can do that exactly. And make the plays. And I think the Rams end up winning this game.
So look, I'm a huge believer in this game dictates Sam Darnold's future in Minnesota. I think if he does the 19-for-41 thing against the Lions and follows it up with a dud against the Rams, they're going to move on from him. But I'm not sure that means there's a ton of pressure on Darnold, because I think if he plays poorly and hits the open market, somebody's going to sign him, and it's probably going to be a pretty damn big deal. But it does feel like he will do himself a lot of good and kind of lock up another contract, whether it be with Minnesota or anybody else, but he'll lock up what he wants with a big game. So I think there's some pressure on Darnold to perform, and I think he will. I think Minnesota wins this game.
I like the Rams as well, Gator, but I like them for different reasons than you. I don't think it has anything to do with the city and this, you know, what's going on in California right now with the fires. I don't think it has anything to do with their defense necessarily. I think it has to do with their offense. The Vikings have lost to two teams this year, the Lions and the Rams. And I think it's because Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford know how to figure out Brian Flores' defense, because he's a great defensive coordinator. He can confuse other quarterbacks. But I think Goff and Stafford have the mentality and then, you know, just been in this league so long and the accuracy to figure it out. I think they eke this one out. I like the Rams on the road / home. Give me the home dog here.
Mafford's got guys to throw to, you know.
Oh, he definitely has guys to throw those, to.
And, you know, if it's more than just one option there that, can Minnesota handle that? I think that you could see some big numbers from the Rams.
It's Carson Anderson, open lines. We'll get to your phone calls a little bit later on. Next up, we go inside Allen Park. How did preparations go this week? What were the Lions up to as they have the weekend off, set to scout and get ready for their first playoff game next weekend? Our Birchie kid was there. We'll talk to him next here on 97.1 The Ticket. So Lions reporter, he's there all the time and gives us the insight on what's going on. And this week's a little bit different. And I want to start with a tweet you sent out yesterday that we retweeted. You were skating on, was it the pond at Belle Isle?
Yeah, it's the pond across from the DYC out on Belle Isle. And I mean, boys, like Mother Nature has bestowed glory upon us. I mean, we've had a week of sub-freezing temps. We have another week ahead of us and very little precipitation in the forecast. This has spawned nothing but glass and black ice across Metro Detroit. So, I mean, if you're not skating, what are you doing? I mean,
so,
get out there. And, you know, I showed that video last night to Dan Miller and Woj. We were taping our pregame show for Sunday, and they were both like, oh, my God, the ice is too thin. You're going to fall through. Everybody relax. Just grab your skates, lace up, and go take a stroll somewhere on Belle Isle or any frozen pond near you.
I got to tell you, some of the video, it looks like they're standing water, and it does look like the ice is kind of thin. I was worried about you.
Oh, here you sound like my dad.
Will, you sound like his son.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. And the scary thought is I'm a dad myself now, unqualified.
Look, I was just worried about the dog.
His dog Gator chasing him, yeah.
But that
hey,
dog
no
looked...
one forechecks like Gator. In fact, I think she might be cut from the Todd McClellan school of forechecking. She was going hard the whole time.
I was amazed at the traction the dog had on the ice in that video. It really is impressive.
So was I. She was using those claws better than I was using my edges. I mean, she was making tight turns out there.
And I do see you had a hockey stick with you.
Oh, yeah. Always got to bring the stick in the puck. Got to work on the hands, you know, no off days.
Can you skate without a stick?
I can, yeah, but it just feels like skiing without ski poles. Like, you just kind of feel naked. The stick just makes it a complete experience.
Sure. Well, you can check it out if you follow Birchie on Twitter, which is @Birchie_kid, or if you follow us on Twitter, you can see the video of him and his dog out there skating Belle Isle. All right, so this week, and I say this because I'm genuinely interested, what was it like in Allen Park?
We weren't in Allen Park. There was nothing going on in Allen Park. I mean, I know you guys talked to Jared on, was that Monday or Tuesday, and I know he was in there and some players were in there getting treatment and, you know, taking care of their bodies. But there wasn't any media access. There were a couple of Zoom calls yesterday for some bi-week interviews. But it was a very quiet week on the media front. And I think the players are enjoying themselves at home.
So let's look at a couple of the big stories. I mean, from a player standpoint, I don't think there's too much except for maybe getting Montgomery back and getting him into the fold and seeing if there anybody else can come off the injury list and get there. But really, isn't it about the coordinators and the story about Spielman, and now there's Deshae Townsend getting interviews, and this Lions coaching staff and front office might get ravaged.
Yeah, and Hank Fraley too, getting an OC interview.
Yeah.
To no surprise. I mean, the Lions are the class of the NFL, and their coaches beneath Dan Campbell are being treated as such. And I'll be very surprised if Aaron Glenn is back here next season. I feel like he's been destined for the Saints head coaching job really ever since Dennis Allen got fired. He obviously has deep ties to that organization, having coached there for 5 years, having finished his playing career there, knows the ownership well, showed really well when they interviewed him for the head coaching job back in 2022 before they hired Dennis Allen, and also has an emotional attachment to New Orleans and to the Saints franchise. You can hear it in his voice anytime he talks about his time there in New Orleans and how fondly he reflects on his time with the Saints. You know, I think a lot of people view that job as maybe the worst opening, given some of the salary cap hell, given the roster, just given the general trajectory there over the past 4 years. But I think Aaron Glenn sees that as an opportunity. I mean, he comes from the same psychology, the same line of thinking as Dan Campbell, who came here because he saw Detroit as an opportunity. And while others might see, you know, hurdles in Aaron Glenn's way, he sees obstacles to overcome. And I just think he would love nothing more if he gets the call than to go back to New Orleans and restore that proud franchise to glory, and, you know, and to its rightful place as a contender in the NFL. So I think that if that offer is made to him, that he accepts it. And I do think the Saints make the offer. He was endorsed by Drew Brees. Obviously, his voice carries a lot of weight with that franchise. And then Ben Johnson's tougher to call. I mean, I don't know if he loves any of the openings available. And I guess the roster that feels like it's the most stable would be the Jaguars, but I don't know if you want to go into that mess and sign up for 2 home games a year in London and work under an owner who has done nothing but really get in the franchise's way. So I don't think he goes to Chicago. I think that's becoming more and more of a pipe dream for Bears fans. I don't really even see him going to a division rival, even if that was an attractive destination.
Why is it that you don't think he goes to
Ben Johnson, but I think Aaron Glenn is destined for New Orleans.
Why is it that you don't think he goes to Chicago?
For one, I don't think he wants to go to a division rival. I think that matters to him. I don't think he would want to turn around and become an immediate rival of Dan Campbell and this organization and this coaching staff that he is so close with. And then for another, I just think every time their owner opens his mouth, he sticks it, he sticks his foot in his mouth. And I think that's a troubling and off-putting optic for any potential head coach. And is Ryan Poles going to be there? Is Caleb Williams truly a franchise quarterback? I think there are a lot of questions about that franchise that would potentially turn someone like Ben Johnson away. I do feel like, again, besides ownership, the Jags job makes a little bit of sense. We talked about this yesterday on our podcast, which you can get on the Odyssey app or on anywhere you get your podcast, rate, listen, and subscribe to the Detroit Football Network podcast. But just that Ben Johnson, unlike Aaron Glenn, might thrive in a market with less media scrutiny, with less intense outside pressure, and Jacksonville certainly fits that description. So maybe that's a destination for him, but again, I think especially if the Lions don't go the distance, I feel more and more like Ben Johnson returns.
Do you get a sense for there's a team that the Lions want or don't want in the playoffs, or do they even care?
I mean, I don't think they give a hoot. I think they welcome all comers. If it was my call and I was speaking on their behalf, I think the Commanders is the most favorable matchup, mostly because that defense just doesn't stop the run. And if you can't stop the Lions from running the ball, then you've got no chance of stopping them at all. I mean, the whole offense is designed around the run game to set up the play action pass. And the Commanders have been just kind of gouged on the ground all season long, almost 5 yards per carry against. I think they're third last in the league in rushing yards allowed per game. I think that's a matchup that the Lions offensively could just really exploit and feast on and put up 30, 40. And it wouldn't really even matter what Jaden Daniels did. I think the Lions offense would just have their way in that matchup. So that's the one that comes to me, also because I just don't think you want to deal with playing any of those other teams a third time in really the past 12 months, whether it's the Packers or the Vikings or the Rams. I think at that point, having already beaten those teams twice and those coaches and those quarterbacks, you're kind of inviting disaster. So I would see the Commanders, but again, don't think they care at all.
You look at the All Pro announcements came out today. We got a quartet of Lions made the first team All Pro teams with St. Brown and Sewell on offense and Kirby Joseph on defense, and I think Jack Fox was the punter. Yeah, your buddy, your man. What do you make of this? And was there any disrespect going on with the guys that didn't get there?
Yeah, wait. So mention the fourth on defense. I heard Kirby, St. Brown, Sewell. Who was the fourth?
I said Jack Fox would have been.
Jack Fox on special teams.
Oh, nice. Yes. Nice. Noted breakman attendee, Jack Fox, who set the NFL record for net punting average, I believe, which is a serious accomplishment and obviously a team achievement. You got to give credit to Hogan Hatt and then the boys for getting downfield and covering. But, I was reacting to the Kirby Joseph news because, I mean, it was such a clear snub for the Pro Bowl. And the same thing happened to St. Brown last year where he turns around and is named first team All-Pro. And I'm glad that the people, or at least the media, came to their senses with Kirby Joseph because he's been the best safety in the NFL all year. His numbers speak for themselves. And I'm glad he gets his due honor. And obviously, Sewell and St. Brown are they're first class at their positions. But mostly for Kirby, man, because I think over the past week, certain fan bases, including two in the NFC North, have just kind of disparaged his name. And this dumb consensus has been formed, mostly stemming from Stafford's mic'd up comments last year when he called Kirby Joseph dirty, that he's a malicious player. And it's not true. I mean, he's been flagged, I think, once all season. He hasn't been fined, and he's not a dirty player. He's a great player who had 9 interceptions this season, several of which were game-changing picks. So good for Kirby Joseph to get his due.
So they could play Stafford again. This story, it'd be just...
You sound thrilled about that.
Well, problem. I mean, that's the thing, right? I think that we're all kind of sick of it, but we know it'll just be the recycled same old, same old. Is there any, you know, would the Lions be sick of it? Or are they...
Embargo?
Do they even pay attention to us? And not us. I don't mean us, 97.1. I mean us, the mainstream media, who will make this another, hey, look who's playing each other kind of game.
Yeah, I just can't believe we'll see Dan Campbell and Jared Goff booing their kids again. I mean, that was crazy last year, and I can't believe that it might happen again. I'm kind of withdrawn about the idea, too. I almost would rather see a third rematch with the Vikings. I don't think the Rams win, for what it's worth, on Monday night. I think people overrate their offense because the personnel is what it is, but they've really struggled to move the ball for much of the season. They don't really have explosive playmakers. They do have good players and guys like Nacua and Kupp and Kyren Williams, but they don't hit big plays. And I think the Vikings bounce back in a big way offensively Monday night. I don't think you can hold Kevin O'Connell, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison down for 2 games in a row. Say what you want about Sam Darnold. So I don't think we see the Rams come in here, but if they do, again, that's a little bit of a disconcerting matchup, just knowing that McVay and Stafford have come close to beating this team twice in the past year, and we get a third crack at it.
What's the one game you got your eye on for this weekend? Could be college, too. Could be tonight's game.
Yeah, no. By the way, you guys see Jake Bates yesterday, his interview about how much he just loves watching football. He was asked if he's going to be watching football during his bye week, and he was like, oh, this is the best. We got the playoff game tonight. We got another playoff game tomorrow. We got NFL Saturday and Sunday. Holy cow, what a weekend for a bye.
That's awesome. Like,
he is one of us. One of us. One of us.
You know what he is? He's ready for pigskin pandemonium. 5 days and nights of football.
Yes, now we're talking game day uncensored.
I
you know what? I'm really intrigued by the Commanders-Bucks game just because I think it has the potential to kind of get chaotic and wonky with a quarterback in Baker who, you know, threw 40 touchdowns but also led the league in interceptions, and another quarterback who's like maybe the most exciting young player in the NFL, and really great receivers on both sides. I think it could be like a 4-5 turnover game and just a bunch of like roller coaster moment. So I know it's maybe not like the marquee matchup that like Green Bay versus Philly might be, but I think that one has the possibility of making for the best theater on Sunday night, if that makes sense.
All right. So when are you back at it? When do they open up the doors? When is our next big news day as we get ready for the first playoff game?
Well, we'll be banging down the doors on Monday, demanding answers. You know, I think we're waiting for a word from the Lions. I would imagine there'll be some availability on Monday. And, you know, by then it still might not be clear who they're playing. So I would guess the locker room will open back up on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. We'll get our first glance at Amon-Ra St. Brown's new blue hair, which is always exciting. Did you guys see he announced a promotion with the bakery that made the life-size cake of his headstand celebration?
I did see that he's getting involved with them.
Yeah. So if you go to that bakery at any point next week, Monday through Thursday, and buy anything in the bakery, I guess now I'm part of this promotion too. you are entered into a chance to win 2 tickets to next weekend's playoff game. So cool gesture by St. Brown to kind of give back to the bakery that made that awesome cake. But yeah, we'll be back at it next Monday and Tuesday, and maybe I'll just call in daily, boys.
I've got no problem with that as we preview a huge game next week. Careful on the pond, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
Will. Here's the Birchie Kid joining us, as he does every Friday here on 97.1 The Ticket. The car, Scott Anderson, Kang behind the glass. All right, so the news today, Aaron Glenn met with the Jets this morning. I'm sorry, last night. He met with the Saints this morning. Virtual interview with the Raiders this afternoon. That's what I mean by met with. Jags tomorrow morning and Bears tomorrow afternoon. Ben Johnson virtually met with the Patriots this morning. Raiders this afternoon, and then Saturday, the Bears and the Jags. So that's the schedule, ongoing schedule, what our coordinators are up to. In the meantime, a story out of Oakland County, Sheriff there, Michael Bouchard, issued an order authorizing police personnel to wear officially licensed Lions caps and beanies as part of their uniform throughout the team's playoff run. Cool little gesture there, huh?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's a simple little thing. I know that lots of businesses around town are kind of implementing the same thing. If they have dress codes during the week, that they might loosen up a little bit on Fridays. Say, hey, wear your Lions gear on Friday, and people enjoy stuff like that. If it's a regimented situation, let your freak flag fly a little bit.
Freak flag?
There you go.
Wow.
Wear your Girt hat.
I think they actually want Grit because it's Lions.
They did say officially licensed.
Official, yeah. The Detroit Police Department as well is joining in this too, Doug. They're letting their officers wear Lions hats and skull caps and, you know, winter hats and things like that to show support as well.
So with that said, does your work have a Lions dress code? And by that, it can be as simple as you're encouraged to wear Lions stuff. You're rewarded for wearing Lion stuff. It is requirement to wear Lion stuff. So we, our oldest had some friends over.
Some more flair?
More flair. Lion's flair. I actually get that. That's a reference to a movie, Office Space.
Well, 15 is the bare minimum. But if you wanted to wear a little bit more, you know, we're going to encourage it.
Tchotchkes?
Tchotchkes.
Tchotchkes. Tchotchkes was the name of the restaurant that Jennifer Aniston worked at. When, I don't know, remember the dude's name from Office Space, but
Peter.
Thank you.
What's happening? It's a great movie. It's a low budget, under the radar movie when it came out and has become a cult classic.
What is hysterical is that going on right outside our studio is a full office renovation. And I have literally asked this, where's my stapler? I have asked that in the renovation. True story.
Is it red?
It's not.
Were you told you could play music at a reasonable level?
I was not.
Oh.
But I did ask the question, where's my stapler? So anyway, at your work, do they encourage or is there any Lions dress code of any kind? 248-539-9797 or at school. So my wife's a school teacher. I've talked about this. And our oldest had a couple of friends over on Sunday to watch the Lions game. And part of it, you know, we were provided some stuff, including some Lions cupcakes that my wife bought at a store. And there were three left over. And she decided Monday she was going to take the three Lions cupcakes to her classroom and then award them to any kids that were wearing Lions gear on Monday. And her thought was, we'll turn it into a bit of a project because unless there are three kids, fractions. So she was going to use the cupcakes. She brought a knife and there was going to be, they were going to fraction them off based, but you know, the kids were going to have to sort it out to equally distribute the cupcakes.
How many kids are in the class?
Oh, like 30.
Be a small ass portion of a cupcake.
Well,
I mean, I'm no math magician.
She didn't announce that she was doing this. She just brought the three cupcakes in and said, I will invite. And I think if all 30 were wearing Lion stuff, she probably would have scrapped the idea.
Okay.
I hope so. Yeah.
So she shows up at class and then invites the kids. Said, do you want to stay here for lunch? I'll have lunch with you. And there's a reward and a project. And there were four kids.
Oh, man, that's tough.
Four kids.
the knife's going to get a workout.
So she had the four kids work out the cupcakes and how it would work. Three cupcakes.
Find a common denominator.
Did you? Do you want to? Do you want to try the Project Gator?
I could try. You're gonna be trying to do that. Four cupcakes.
Four kids. Three cupcakes.
Could you imagine if Gator was one of the students, Doug? Oh my God.
He'd be like, I'll just go to lunch.
You know what?
He goes, I get one full cupcake. You guys split the other two.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you $5 not to have a cupcake. So everybody just gets a cupcake, and the fourth one, you get $5. That sounds like a plan right there.
Well, the kids worked out that they would cut two of the cupcakes in half and one of the cupcakes in quarters. And each kid would get a half of one cupcake and a quarter of another.
That sounds smart.
Anyway, the point
is I would have took off my Lions shirt and sent him out of here.
I realized the show is over at 2, and I didn't want to put Gator through the ringer.
So I'm the biggest kid here. So I'm taking a cupcake. Anybody got a problem with that? No? All right.
So anyway, the topic and what we want to know is, do you have a work-related Lions dress code? Either someone you're encouraged to do it, or just like the Oakland County Sheriff has, just like the Detroit Police Department has, and just like apparently. So what's funny is I asked my wife on Wednesday before she went to school. I said, oh, because she did this on Monday. I said, how many kids showed up on Tuesday wearing Lions gear?
Right.
17.
Yeah.
Thinking they would score a free cupcake.
Incidentally, the way that I would have done it, and I think I like her way better.
Well, it was the kids that the came kid. Up with it. They should have made the kids come up with it.
I would have cut each of the three cupcakes into fourths and then said, everybody take three pieces of it.
It accomplished the same thing.
Yeah, it does accomplish the same thing rather than having to go, hey, you get half of
this.
Well,
you would have made more cuts.
Yeah, you would have made it longer, Gator. Yeah.
But it would have worked.
I said a knife would have gotten a workout.
In a Gator scenario, more of a workout. But, you know, I wonder if, like, a lot of restaurants, like, there's that back of the house, you could pretty much wear whatever you want, most restaurants. But front of the house, maybe they're letting, you know, the servers, the hosts, like, hey, you can rock Lions gear until the playoff runs over or whatever.
Well, I mean,
if you work in a restaurant industry.
You would think for a sports bar, too, it might make sense for the boss to buy everybody, like, a Lions hat so they can all wear them during, you know, football games and all that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the servers at 24 Seconds are probably encouraged to wear some Lions stuff.
Oh, encouraged. What's the minimum, you think?
Bob, what's the minimum on there? Gotta wear at least a hat. Okay.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.